Well, good morning, everyone. Props for getting here at the right time. I'll see if anybody sneaks in an hour late. I don't know. I love that question, Steve, that you got us to consider. What will we do with a bonus 3 hours? I'd like you to consider a slightly different question as we kick off our time together as I find my clicker. What happens if you have a set aside spare time that somebody else then wastes? How do you feel? Yeah, you don't have to answer that one. During COVID, in one of those beautiful moments where we were allowed to venture forth from our properties, Kay and I managed to get one of those sacred times together, a date morning. So the grandparents looked after both of our kids, and this was the first time it was just going to be her and me since we had our second child. And so we go to this cafe, and we sit down and we order what looks to be a fairly standard, delicious brunch that we were very much looking forward to having as we sat down and connected with each other. About six or so other tables in the cafe full as well. I drink my coffee and we start chatting. Kay drinks her tea, her second cup of tea in the pot. We keep chatting. Still no food is come out, and we start looking at each other and thinking, do you reckon they've forgotten our order? Oh, I'm sure it's just taking a little bit of time. Kept chatting. And we start seeing other food come out, and we start seeing other customers start to leave. Have you ever had this experience? And they're like, I think they've forgotten our order. Be brave and go and say something. So, so I go up, I'm like, just making sure, like, we've got babysitting, like, is the food coming? Yeah, we've got your order, it's all good. They just have to go get something in the shops. Okay, no worries. Go down, sit back next to each other, continue, trying to connect romantically while we just watch the cafe empty out, patron after patron walking out without their food. And at some point we're like, okay, this has gone beyond a joke. So go back and like, come on, like, what is happening? Like, we genuinely have babysitting. Oh, no, it's happening. It's coming. Finally, and it takes a lot for me to get to this. Like, I walk in, I'm like, can I just have my money back? This has been too long. And they're like, oh, no, they're cooking it now. We'll make you another cup of coffee. And it's one of those times where you're like, why am I a Christian? And you go, it's fine. I'll take the coffee. We'll wait a little bit longer for the food. And we sit down. I kid you not, I reckon we clocked about an hour and a quarter waiting at this cafe for a fairly standard cafe brunch in a not very busy cafe, which we now realise why it wasn't very busy. But if there was a doctor who walked past and strapped me up to take my blood pressure in that moment, what do you reckon the reading would be, right? I was stressed. I had delved deep into anger, I have to say, internal, of course, very polite Christian anger, angry nonetheless. Have you ever had such an experience where someone has wasted your time and you feel almost this visceral reaction to your time being wasted? Why is that, do you think? Because our time is precious. Absolutely. It's limited. And once it's spent, we cannot get it back. Right? It's not like money. We can't go, no one can gift us anymore. We can't get lent anymore. We can't go and earn anymore. Once it is spent, it is gone. Well, if you're just joining us, we're wrapping up a little 4-week mini-series about what it means to take care of, to steward the things that God entrusts to us. So we've looked at what it looks like to be caretakers of creation, what it looks like to be caretakers of our finance. And today we're going to look at what does it mean to be caretakers of our time. And the first point is simply this, that time is a precious, limited and irreplaceable gift entrusted to us by a loving God. We see this all throughout the Psalms, don't we? Psalm 139 makes this out really clear. That verse 16, that God saw our unformed body, like as we were being knit together in our mother's wombs, and all the days ordained for me, all the days ordained for us were written in his book before one of them came to be. There is a certain amount of days, weeks, months, years that we have in this life that is set. And so just like money, what we then do with our time, how we spend it, whether we're selfish or generous, wise or foolish, it actually reveals something about us. It reveals our heart. It reveals our priorities. It reflects our values. And so the psalmist in Psalm 90 calls us, or he prays, teach us, Lord. not teach us society, not let me think about it myself, but teach us, Lord, to number our days, to count them, to know that they are finite. Why? So that we may gain a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. You know, there's something about knowing that you have a certain amount of time left that brings a real clarity and perspective and a wisdom to best know how to steward that time. And so as a believer, I want to be proved trustworthy with what God has entrusted to me, this most precious commodity, time. What is wisdom when it comes to how we spend our time as followers of Jesus? Or you might be bracing yourself for a sermon full of 101 productivity life hacks to be as efficient as possible and to get as much out of life as you possibly can, cram as much in there as you possibly can, no spare moments, right? Relax, breathe. I know it's a long weekend, and that's not where we're going. The first point I think is counterintuitively, but importantly, the Bible calls us to ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. Dallas Willard, very famous quote, said, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." And yet if you ask anyone, and including Christians, how was your week? What are you likely to hear as a response? Busy. We do, don't we? How was your week? It was busy. How are you feeling? I'm tired because I've been busy. And what are you looking forward to in the week ahead? Oh, there's so much in it. Hey, do you reckon you could serve at church? Oh, life's just really busy at the moment. I just don't think I can do that. And when we go from thing to thing to thing, when we cram up our diaries, it's not just that our lives are full, but they're busy. And so we hurry and there's a frenetic energy and almost a chaos to our lives where we go from thing to thing to thing to thing almost unthinkingly. And it robs us of the ability to cultivate depth and connection with God and with people and to be present in moments, doesn't it? When we hurry, we have an inability to truly be present with people. And if you've ever tried to get out of the door with a family and you're running late, you'll know exactly what I mean. When we hurry through life from thing to thing, no space for stopping, we have no place for waiting on God, for learning to trust Him and to depend on Him, let alone cultivating the fruits of patience, kindness, gentleness. Love, I don't know if you've noticed, takes time. And the danger is that we can be doing so much activity, but we don't know why or what it's achieving or where it is taking us. We just know that we are busy and we have lots to do. And quite frankly, when we are rushed and stressed, we don't make good decisions, do we? There's this great little story in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 13, and Saul's been, he's been doing some great stuff with a bunch of guys from Israel, the stuff that, you know, a fresh king of Israel needs to do, protect the borders, fight off the enemies and all that kind of stuff. And words got out that he's having some military success, so the Philistines bring pretty much their entire might up to the border to kind of do a little bit of a show of strength. And so Saul, like, he's part of the people of God. He knows that there is a Yahweh way of doing things that involves, you know, sacrifices with prophets and beseeching God and asking God's favor and blessing upon them in military campaigns. But in this particular occasion, for whatever reason, the prophet is a little bit tardy. I don't know if his Google Maps just wasn't working for him and he lost his way, or if he, you know, got stuck in that time waster of Facebook and he was having a coffee, whatever it is, but he was late. And Paul's like, I've got no time for this. I've got no time for this. I have to do something. And so he makes the sacrifice himself, even though he knows that is not the kosher thing to do. And if you know the story, this is an incredible overreach from Saul, and actually a breach of his responsibilities and his anointing as king over the people. And so the prophet arrives shortly after, and the first words out of his mouth are, "What have you done?" And Paul goes on to justify. He's like, well, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. And so, of course, you know, like, I felt compelled. They're the words in scripture. I felt compelled to do this thing. I was busy. I was hurried. I had to do it. Things had to be done. Didn't have time to wait. And Samuel the prophet replies, "You have done foolishly. and goes on to list the seriousness and the significance and the incredibly harsh consequence of this hasty decision, this rush to do things that he was not meant to do. And you know, I think we know this to be true in our own lives, that we are not at our best when we are busy, are we? That it's often when we are hurried and harried and stressed that words come out of our mouths that we wish later we could take back. When we are stressed, when we are overcommitted, when we are hurried, it's very hard to practice the ways of Jesus. Ronald Rollheiser, who is a Catholic writer, he talks about pathological busyness. I love that. Pathological busyness. Pathological busyness, distraction, and restlessness are major blocks today within our spiritual lives. We are more busy than bad, more distracted than we are non-spiritual. And it's not like we have anything against God, against depth, or against the Spirit. We like these. It's just that we are habitually too preoccupied to have any of these show up on our radar screens. Slow down to enjoy life. Cultivate depth. Don't rush. Don't hurry. Don't be overcommitted as we go through life. It is part of bad stewardship of the time that has been entrusted to us. Well, that's probably one extreme of it, isn't it? So the other extreme is just as wrong, isn't it, in terms of what we do. And that is, if God has entrusted us with time, one of the worst things that we can do is what? Waste. Jeez, you guys are good. You guys are good. You should be up here. Guard against foolish and wasteful spending of our time. I don't think I need to go over this entirely too much because I think we know it. We're all there, right? We have an unprecedented amount of ways to waste our time in 2022 and beyond, no doubt. It's just going to get continuously worse. And I want to differentiate here between rest and rejuvenation and healthy things like Sabbath. I'm talking about those wasteful moments, time, hours that quickly add up to days and weeks over the month that we can spend flicking through Netflix. Maybe this is the wrong crowd. trying to find something to watch, or getting stuck on social media and just doing that scroll thing where you don't know what's happened, but hours have gone and you don't know what you've watched, but something ridiculous, and time just vanishes before you. Proverbs 12 just calls this out. I think I've got it up there as well. He who follows worthless pursuits, those who engage in idle pursuits, those who chase fantasies, they have no sense. Cease that wasteful, foolish spending of time. We do this so often and in so many ways, and things like social media are designed to keep us on their platform as long as possible, wasting as much time on them as possible. So be on guard. Don't waste time. But it's not just about things like that that can waste our time. We can waste time in simply poor management. So working out how to actually manage your life and maybe have some of those productivity hacks or systems in your life that will help you maximize your life is wise as believers as well. And we can also foolishly waste our time by committing to things that aren't for us. They're just not meant for us. They may well be good in and of their own right, but they're just not part of our gift set or our calling or aligned with our values. Does that make sense? Has everyone ever experienced that? No? Just me? That's good. I know. A few nods. You can say yes to. I've certainly had that where I've committed to things that at the time I was too embarrassed to say no to. And then after I'd said yes, then I was too guilty to pull out of because I'd committed to doing it, right? And so every time that email comes through to say you need to do something as part of this group you've agreed to be part of, your head goes, and every time you go to a meeting, your heart sinks and you think, this is such a waste of my time. Not a waste of their time, not a waste of what that group is trying to achieve, but a waste of my time. And I certainly had one of those experiences many years ago, and I'll try not to repeat it in the future. So we don't want to hurry through life, but we don't want to just foolishly waste away our life and our hours and our time either. So what are we then called to? Well, we're called to wisely invest our time. And I think a key Bible verse, if you want to remember a sort of memory verse or we'll do some further reflecting on it during the week, Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, beautiful way and that sets it up for us. Paul writes, be very careful, intentional, purposeful in how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Teach us to number our days, Lord, that we may have a heart of wisdom. So live carefully, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, making the best use of our time, making the most of your time, the scripture calls us. And I think there's a bunch of really simple ways that each of us are called to do that. I think there's some broad brushstrokes that apply to all of us. And then for each of us, we need to wrestle down and work out, well, what it is it particularly for me in my life, in my season, with my gifts, what does it look like for me to invest my time wisely? I think the first thing that all of us as followers of Jesus are called into is to invest time wisely into things that stir our affection for Christ. And I want to honour you for actually being here this morning as an expression of this. Investing time wisely to be places, to be among people, to engage in things like communion that stir our affections for Christ. And that call to remember him when we actually think on and we remember who Jesus is and what he has done for each and every one of us, what he means in our lives. The idea that I would then go through my life and spend, if you like, little to no time with him, thinking on him, reflecting, growing to know him more, stirring those affections for him, it just doesn't make sense. We see it time and time again throughout the scriptures that being with God is so important to the people of God. It's set up through the Old Testament, not only with a lot of their festivals and different things that they build into the rhythm, the fabric of their societal life. But you see it in lovely individual instances as well. Moses and Joshua, son of Nun, going in just to be with God. Just to see him and coming out, their faces radiant before they go and do the task for which God has called them to do. Jesus constantly retreating from ministry, retreating from people, going to be alone with his Father, just to connect, just to love, just to respond, just to pray to, just to be with Father in prayer. Now, well, Peter, you know, there's this great moment in church history where Peter has a vision that opens the door for Gentiles to be accepted into the church. Now, the context of that is he's upstairs praying, alone, being with God, falls asleep and has a vision. Invest time wisely into the things that stir your affection for Christ. And I just want to call out something just a little bit, if I can. And that is last year and the year before, we went through some stuff, didn't we? With the whole COVID lockdowns and yeah. Now, for some people who are trying to work from home and effectively become full-time teachers of their kids, I get that a lot of time vanished and actually had less time during those years. But for a lot of us, we had more time, didn't we? There was no commuting. There was no social occasions, no sporting teams to be part of. Everything kind of shrunk a little bit and we had more time. And so one of the things that we observed is that people who continued regular patterns of spiritual disciplines, of doing things that stirred their affections for God, even though their routine had changed, had a good time with God through those 2 years. Not to say that it wasn't tough, it wasn't hard. Now, for some, actually leveraged, and they used that extra time to do more Bible reading, to do more praying, to explore other expressions of their spirituality that continued to grow and develop and stir their affections for God. And coming out of those 2 years, there was almost a grief of returning to the busyness of life because they'd so connected with God in those years. And for others, faith was really tough in those years because the time was not spent with God, stirring things that stir their affection to God. That makes sense, doesn't it? I'll leave that one there for you. But one of the things for me is worship music. I've shared this a whole bunch. So I'll sit down and I'll be by myself and I'll get the headphones out and I'll pull up a live set of worship from a church somewhere. And I'll just spend time worshipping God. Now that is not the most productive use of time, is it? I could be listening to that in the background whilst I'm doing another task. I could have that in the car as I'm driving to and from places. But I prefer to be seated down at home. Seated with those headphones on by myself, fully immersed and fully engaged in that time. And I'm a better human being for spending that time. I'm a better disciple for spending that time. That is time not wasted. That is time where I'm not rushed, but it's unhurried time to sit at the feet of Jesus and have the activity of worship stir my affections for him. Year on year, decade on decade, I want to get to the end of my life and be more in love with him, to know him more intimately than I know him now. And I know that's the heart and the desire of many in this room. And so we must invest the time wisely into things that stir our affection for him. Secondly, I think we need to invest time wisely in growing our character and growing in our Christian maturity. Now, this comes with time and it happens over time, but only if you invest the time, right? How often have you met somebody who is far more advanced in years than you, and you've wondered how they've managed to get through all of that life and still be so grumpy and bitter and selfish? And I mean, I can't think of anybody in this room this applies to, but I've met some people over my life, right? It only happens if you deliberately participate with what the Spirit is doing. I want to know the Bible more in a decade than I know it now. I want to be more Christ-like in a year than I am now, and so on and so forth. And so there is, I think one of the great places to go to in this is Paul's relationship with Timothy. So Timothy invests the time to grow in maturity, to grow in his character. And so Paul's final charge to Timothy in his letter, in his first letter that we have anyway, he says, "But you, Timothy, man of God, you need to flee from all this other foolish stuff and pursue. Invest time. Spend the time. Do the hard work. Go after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." That takes time. It happens over time if you invest the time. I think one of the clearest and easiest ways this can happen is, obviously, you need to spend time in the Word to know how God is shaping you and calling you to be more Christ-like. But find yourself an accountable context where someone's actually going to ask you, and they're going to follow up, and they're going to say, "Are you spending time with Jesus?" Where they're going to ask you, "Hey, you shared some stuff coming out of Steve's message on money. What did you end up doing with those convictions?" Or we're going to be able to say, "Hey, I heard this thing, or I read this thing. I think it'd really encourage you and build you up. You should too as well." Do you have those people in your life? Far from being a waste of time, I spend a couple of hours every second month, it's only once every 2 months, with a mentor. And it is invaluable for my character and my Christian maturity. Someone who is in my corner, who's for me, who's going to ask me the hard question, who's going to follow up, who's going to invest in me, who wants to see me become more like Jesus and increasingly grow up into the person that I believe and he believes God is calling me to be. So that would be one example, I think, of time invested really wisely. Ironically, I'm conscious of time, so we're going to move on. I'm not rushing, though. I'm not hurried. Invest wisely into cultivating meaningful relationships. What is the greatest commandment? Yep, and is there a second like it? Love your neighbour as yourself. Can you rush meaningful relationships? No. It's beautiful. You can't. Relationships take time. Over time, they continue to take time. Just because at one point you invested time into a relationship and got to a place of intimacy doesn't mean that 10 years later that's still as intimate. You need to continue investing the time. Investing your time into your marriages, sneaky plug for the marriage course coming up on the 29th of October, that would be wisely invested time. You need to invest time in and with church community, with your kids, getting to know and build relationship with work colleagues or neighbours who don't yet know Jesus. All of that takes time. There's a beautiful moment in Acts chapter 20. Where Paul, he calls the elders of the church together and he's got this sense that God's leading him elsewhere and he shares some stuff. And there is this, I think it's beautiful, maybe I'm getting soft in my old age, but verse 36, Acts 20, after he's shared all this stuff, Luke records for us that when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. It's this beautiful picture of a community that genuinely and deeply love one another. Why don't we read about that in some of maybe the other churches that Paul visited? Because he spent an enormous amount of time with the Ephesian church and with the Ephesian elders. It took time and he put in the time to invest in those meaningful relationships. And you see the fruit of it. Now, if you've ever read the letter to Ephesians as well, such an encouraging and uplifting letter. Make sense? I don't need to say anything more about that, do I? Good. Invest time into cultivating meaningful relationships. And yeah, sometimes that will mean a little bit of self-sacrifice is involved, or maybe some decisions need to be made where you swap certain activities for investing in relationships. But cultivating meaningful relationships, you will not regret. Invest the time wisely. It's precious and it's fleeting. And lastly, and I think this is a really important one, invest time wisely into pursuing God-led impact and influence. I wanted to call this point, know your why. Know your why. Know why you're put on this earth. Have a sense of your purpose. What is it that's going to bring meaning to your time on this planet and the way that you spend your time, that you're going to be really pleased and believe that it pleases the Lord to spend your time in those ways? Ephesians 5 that we read just before talked about, let me find it, be very careful how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And then the very next verse says, therefore, so because of that, because we're being wise, because we're thinking through how we make the most of our time, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the Lord's will is. And there's some general stuff that sits over that, but for each of us, I think there's some individual things. We need to work out for us, what is the Lord's will for me? What are the gifts, what are the opportunities that God has for me to walk in? And to spend the time investing in and being obedient to those things. Time. Invest wisely in those things. I want to end with a story and a final point just to add to all of those. A couple of weeks ago, I was doing the washing up. Anybody do that? Yeah, that's a joyful use of time, isn't it? But I was doing the washing up. Kay had taken Emily up to bed, and I was supervising Josiah while I washed up the dishes. And I had so much going through my head; it was crazy. So that day, we'd as a team, we'd gone through the NCLS results. So my head was swimming with kind of all this data, I guess, about our church and thinking about the things that are to celebrate and the things that are maybe for us to grow into and to lead into. And as part of that meeting, and you guys were there, you know, there was a few comments like, "Oh, you're gonna have to, you know, read this data about the next church you go to as well." So my head's kind of in that space as well. But I'm about to go to another church and gotta understand their culture and things they're doing well and where we need to grow as well. I'm also currently involved volunteering, doing a church consultancy, just helping a church navigate a difficult season of ministry and life. And so I'm sitting there washing up the dishes and my head is swimming. My heart is focused, it's fully consumed with a church here, a church up there, a church some way I'm not allowed to say, out that way as well. And it's like in those moments, like no one accuses me, I don't think, of not being kingdom oriented in the way that I spend my time, even the way that I spend my thought life in my downtime. And so here I am thinking about all these things and Josiah, who's two if you don't know him, he brings his little step stool up next to me and he steps up onto it and it's very obvious he wants to help me wash up the dishes. This is super cute, this hasn't happened before, so I find a spare cloth and I give it to him and he basically makes a mess. And I get back to washing the dishes and my head goes straight back into these three church spaces and thinking about them. And I felt and I heard the very real rebuke of the Spirit. And he just said to me, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss these sacred, precious blessings that happen along the way. Don't be so concerned about the kingdom impact you're making or being so consumed by what's still on your to-do list that you can't be attentive and present to the blessings that I've brought into your life. And that's not just about having kids, right? It's actually the ability to walk outside and see something in nature and have the unhurried ability to stop and pause and drink it in and spend a moment in worship before moving on to the next thing. It's actually about sitting there and hearing the story from somebody who goes on and on and on again, who's kind of saying nothing, but they just need somebody to talk to and to listen to. Maybe it's sitting with a friend and for the thousandth time hearing them confess the same sin and feeling in your heart, oh my goodness, this is such a waste of my time. But once again, entering that sacred space of extending grace and coming alongside someone and helping point them to Jesus. There are these sacred, special moments that each of us experience throughout our lives. And to steward our time well is to be attentive to them, is to savor them, is to be present and to give thanks to God for them. So don't rush unhurried and unthinkingly through life, nor waste it away. Have meaning and purpose and wisdom as you invest your time into your relationship with God, into your Christ-likeness, into key relationships and what God is seeking to do through you. And all along the way, look for and be attentive to, spend your time well, savoring the blessings that God has for you along the way. I'm just going to give you 2 minutes just to reflect and to pray and to ask that simple question, God, what is it from today that you're speaking to me? What activities might I need to swap out? What routines might I need to prioritize? Maybe what attitudes need to shift? You can reflect on that Ephesians 5 verse as you do. And I'll pray. Yeah, so Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time and for this moment right now as a community. Lord, would you teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that each of us would have revealed by your Spirit to us what wisdom looks like for how we spend and how we invest our time with you in relationships, in vocation, in light of the gifts and calling that you've placed on our heart and on our lives. Our whole lives are yours, Lord, and we want to bring you honour and glory in the way that we spend them.